First of all, I want to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people and the elders of the Kulin Nation as well, the traditional custodians of this place. Our work is situated in several Aboriginal communities, and we're learning much by quietly listening to each other. Thanks to the Dean also for inviting me to give this last lecture of the year in the series. I'll introduce you to some very recent work, done within the IFA Kids study around the maze of getting into different types of early childhood education and care programs before school and what that might mean for children's ongoing learning and development. So on to research collaboration. IFA Kids is a research project funded by the ARC and our industry partners, the Victorian Department of Education and Early Childhood Development and the Queensland Department of Education. The Graduate School's a lead agency, and we work in partnership with the Queensland University of Technology to do this study. We also benefit from academic collaboration with the University of Toronto, Institute of Education in London, and the Royal Children's Hospital here in Melbourne. I'll finish the lecture with the team talent. DIWA in Canberra has supported this study also to help us to field the implementation work and to, especially in regard to recruitment and retention activity. A quick overview, first of all. I want to frame this research content through early childhood education and care policy, then give you a brief outline of IFA Kids before I introduce some evidence of the family demographics and the use of early childhood programs by our participants. I'll also present a little bit about the quality of the programs that the children attend and finish with a few questions about future directions and outcomes of our work. So, first of all, about the policy interests, this study was born out of after that OECD review that Field mentioned and that we published in late 2006. Then, in Australia, we were largely relying on evidence from the UK and the US to direct our early childhood policy and service provision. IFA Kids addressed a need to use Australian early childhood program evidence and to lead the direction and the quality of provision here. Children's early life experience determine whether a child's brain provides a strong or a weak foundation for future learning, their behaviour and their health. Early life experiences determine the pathways for children's motivation for school learning and for their long-term scholastic attainment. And they set the pathways for children's emotional security, their sense of agency, self-regulation and social behaviour. So it's a really important time in the policy, in the research that's recognised. A marker of young children's learning and development trajectory is the kind of early childhood programs they access and the quality of those programs. The EPI studies in the UK and the NICHD studies in the US give plenty of evidence of the effects of poor and good quality ECEC on children's social and educational development over time. In Australia, historically, we've thought about childcare as help for adults needing to participate in the labour market, and kindergarten as short programs of social and educational development before children go to school. And there's been plenty said about the ease or difficulty of accessing a mixed market of ECEC programs here of varied quality and quantity. Families have different experiences of finding and accessing services that complement their circumstances. The children and families in regional and remote Australia and those without means to find or buy good quality early childhood programs have extra challenges. EC programs hold most promise for the children of families facing multiple disadvantage: poverty and unemployment, social and cultural exclusion, geographic isolation, and low levels of education. Hundreds of scientific papers set out the cognitive advantage of young children, to young children in such circumstances if they receive high quality early childhood education. The research papers from Joe Sparling and Craig Ramey and colleagues through the Abecedarian studies, the Project CARE and the Infant Health and Development Program, all studies by those leaders, are great examples. Their programs demonstrate treatment effects averaging 1.08 between 18 months and 4 effect size, averaging 1.08 between 18 months and 4.5 years. That's huge, and that's the space we're interested in, certainly if a kid picks up from 3. The treatments have had long-lasting results and measurable positive effects through 30 years of age. Incidentally, we work with Sparling and Ramey in various states, as Field has noted. We're using a customised Australian suite of strategies from those studies and those programs. So that's why I'm delighted to have an opportunity to implement the E4 Kids study at this stage, to learn something about typical Australian early childhood education and care programs, to understand what everyday service provision contributes to child learning, development and well-being. So what is E4 Kids? It is, at the core, a 5-year study of the contribution of everyday early childhood programs on children's learning and development over time. Two things about the scope of this work. The first is that E4 Kids is a study of the current complex system of early childhood education and care programs. It is an assessment of the impacts on children of our current system of provision. So we set out to answer, in a complex way, where government might invest in early childhood. The second point is that under the just revised Australian Research Council guidelines, a major study like this would not receive sufficient funding or duration. It's now only a 3-year grant you can apply for and a much lower level of funding. So this study is best seen as one of those once-in-a-generation opportunities on a major issue of importance in our society. We're very conscious of our responsibility to make the most of that and use that opportunity. We're finishing our 3rd year of this study. We've observed programs and children's growth and change since 2010. We have representative samples of early childhood services that includes all major types of program: long daycare, kindergarten, family daycare, limited hours care, and in 2011 and 12, we've followed kids through to school. We have over 2,600 children in the study. Along with them, we also have their parents, teachers, educators, directors and principals, all making contributions to our understanding of ECEC programs and children's development. That takes us to near 10,000 participants. We also include a random sample of 160 children selected on the basis of not taking part in early childhood programs. Within the study, these children serve as a comparison group. This group included children using informal care, such as grandparents, or solely in parental care, being entirely in the care of their parents. To recruit them, we partnered with FACSIA and DEWA. It was the first time these departments had combined their data to identify a population not using formal ECEC programs. So they're very special to us. About the program we study, long daycare consists of for-profit and not-for-profit centres providing full daycare throughout the year to children less than school age. Educators in long daycare settings are required to have at least a certificate and a diploma if they are going to lead the program in a room. Kindergarten is usually a part-day program and generally teachers hold at least a bachelor's degree. Later I'm going to distinguish standalone kinder, 3-year-old kinder and kinder within long daycare. Many long daycare centres also do provide kindergarten programs for part of the day with a qualified teacher. Family daycare is in our study too. It takes place in the educator's home. The providers are licensed and they're organised in licensed schemes that include professional support and monitoring. I won't be talking about family daycare tonight because we've excluded, there was such a small number in this particular analysis. Okay. The study design ensured the inclusion of a diverse range of locations as well as early childhood service types. We sampled across 2 major great metropolitan areas, Melbourne and Brisbane. We selected a diverse regional area, the Greater Shepparton region, and we selected a remote mining town, Mount Isa, a mining community where many years ago I lived and worked and had my first child. Both Mount Isa and Greater Shepparton have high numbers of Aboriginal families, and in Shepparton there's also a concentration of refugee families. Okay, now to the measures. Each year since 2010, EFA Kids has taken direct measures of the children's cognition and achievement and their physical growth. We've also measured the interactions in the programs and the structural dimensions of the programs. And one of our junior office assistants has just arrived. Through a battery of questionnaire items, we source a rich selection of information from the families, the educators and the teachers, the directors and the principals. So let's look at family demographics. This presentation really addresses the early childhood education and care program usage of EFA Kids families 2 years before school and the quality of those programs. To select the data for this analysis, we found those kids in our study who had started school already, that is 2,080 of them. And we went back 2 years through our collected data to profile them. And we found in doing that 1,210 complete cases. So I'm focusing on some specific data analyses of ECEC provision around 1,210 children, 2 years before they started school. The numbers in the different analyses vary according to the data we have from parent surveys and the rooms that the children attended. So there's a little bit of movement in terms of the actual numbers as we go. Please note, however, these data are still subject to further data cleaning and verification. We've taken considerable time to fully check and recheck every data item and each analysis, but this work, it does take ages, and this work continues as we develop the formal manuscripts for the external peer review process. So let's begin. Let me describe to you what the families and children look like 2 years before school and their usage patterns of formal ECEC services and informal care. 2 years before school, not all children are three. And remember, they're actually in school, we're talking about, they're not all three. In the middle of the year, 2 years prior to school, the children ranged in age from 24 to 60 months. That's 2.5 to 5 years. Most children range from 3 years, 4 months to 4 years, 2 months. So early childhood educators and early years school staff manage the learning of diverse age children within any 1 year. If you think simple chronological age is a one-size organiser for a learning program, think again. Okay, so to the main, what about the families? The main caregiver is defined in our study as the person who lives with the study child and is most knowledgeable about their behaviour, personality and daily care arrangements. We check the age of the main caregivers in the middle of the year and the year 2 years prior to their children attending school. And that age for the main caregivers range from 20.67 years to 57.25. Okay, the majority of main caregivers were female, that was 91%, and the mean age of caregivers was 35, nearly 36 years old. 63% are in the labour force, that is, they're employed or they're actively seeking work in the week prior to completing our survey. Of those in the labour force, 53% were employed part-time, 38% full-time, 6% casual, and 3% were unemployed or looking for work. Of those not in the labour force, it was about 32%, about a third, 84% of those were undertaking domestic duties, 6% were studying, 1% not working and living with a disability, 1% were retired, and less than 0.5% were a carer. There were also 8% who listed themselves as other. Okay, to the use of informal care and parent care only. This slide shows the patterns of ECEC usage 4, 3 and 2 years prior to attending school. We got this information from parents. Here, the number in each bar represents the number of years prior to school. 4, 3, 2. Okay? The green bar shows that as children move from 4 years prior to school to 2 years prior to school, the use of parental care only decreases from about 35% to less than 10%. And the blue bars show us the use of formal programs and/or a mix of informal care increases from around 65% to in excess of 90%. So there's a pattern over those 3 years that's not surprising, perhaps. Only 90 children in our sample for this analysis, that's 8%, were in parental care alone 2 years prior to school. The further away from commencing school, the more children are in parental care alone. So as children get younger and younger, they're more likely to be in parental care only. 4 years from commencing school, 35% are in parental care only. It might surprise some that it's only 35%, but we live in a very diverse society, and lots of children access lots of different forms of education and care support, including informal care. So let's look at education and care before school. Of those children who attend any early childhood program and or any informal care, this slide's showing whether they used only informal care, only formal care, that is programs in centres, or a mix of both. So we've got the three different combinations. As children move from 4 to 2 years, here we've got some trends. The orange bars show that as children move from 4 to 2 years prior to school, there's a decreasingly small proportion using only informal care. It's really saying similarly from what I've said before in another way. The blue bars show that increasing proportion are using only formal care programs. They're going up. The green bars show a modest decrease in the proportion using both formal and informal care as they get closer to school. So there are two distinct groups: those children in our study using formal ECEC programs only, and those using a mix of formal and informal care. Perhaps again, not surprising. Small differences are observed within states, with proportionally more children in Victoria using a mix of both formal and informal education and care. This may be a structural difference. Victoria has short hours, standalone, three-year-old kindergarten programs, and these may require some more informal care around them to support their use and the needs of certain families. The average time spent by children in all types of formal and informal care in a week was 27.5 hours. Okay. Looking at the average hours of children 2 years before school, of childcare now specifically, this slide presents children's participation in some form of childcare 2 years before. Children are at a childcare, a long daycare service 2 years prior to school. Those who are there attend on average 21.45 hours in a typical week. And that sits neatly with what the Productivity Commission tends to put out every year about average usage on a bigger range, but this is a particular group 2 years before school. We note a very small proportion, only three cases, who were using more than 60 hours of long day care. Presents more than 12 hours a day, 5 hours. But we're very sensitive that this may represent over-reporting. It's survey response data. But also it might represent a very small proportion who long daycare. A typical week in the child's and main caregiver's work is referred to as normal routine or care arrangements that they use in most weeks. So it's the normal routine over in a year. There's a difference between states. Children in Victoria attend on average 2 hours fewer of formal childcare per week, and that's probably because we have more three-year-old kindergarten available. So how many hours of informal care 2 years before school? Now, informal care is, I could say backyard care, but grandparents and so on. So it's outside of centres and outside of the formal system. Children whose families used informal care, there were 553 of these children 2 years before school, used a mix of care and on average had about 10 and a half hours of informal care use for that particular subsample. Of the families using informal care, 62% use relative care, that is grandparents, other relatives, and on average this type of informal care was used around 11 to 12 hours per week. So different averages there. A small group of families using informal care, about 36%, 190 cases, were in playgroups on average 2.47 hours a week. It goes with what playgroup, the duration of a playgroup. Fewer families again, about 10%, 56, used nanny care on average for about 15 hours a week. Okay, so there's a different combinations of informal care. And you might think, okay, so what? We'll come back to that. The average hours of standalone kindergarten. Children who attend standalone kindergarten programs attend in a typical week, about just under 8 hours in a week. There's a contrast in the different use patterns by states that reflect the history of provision. In Victoria, there's a history of standalone three-year-old provision, hence more children use kindergarten programs 2 years prior to school in Victoria. There's 222 in our sample who did that, compared to Queensland, where there were 83. Children in Victoria attended for, on average, fewer hours in a typical week, that is about six, and they are compared with Queensland, whose children attended for about 12 and a half, nearly half as many hours in Victoria. These findings are consistent with a small number of children in Queensland attending standalone four-year-old kindergarten 2 years from school and likely completing 2 years of the program. We know there are repeats and repetitions in programs, and while the majority of children attend in Queensland standalone kindergarten the majority of children in Victoria attend standalone kindergarten programs at the same stage, and at this stage they're in three-year-old kindergartens, typically run for fewer hours. So repeats of four-year-old kindergartens potentially in one place, three-year-old kindergarten distinct, followed by a four-year-old kindergarten, potentially in Victoria. Standalone kindergarten 2 years before school is confounded, however, by the long daycare offer of kindergarten within long daycare settings, so data can be very difficult to interpret. Policy's changing in this area in light of universal access. That is, we're phasing in 15 hours of funded preschool for all four-year-old children. Specific data on how long daycare services deliver their funded kindergarten programs is not available. Anecdotally, in Queensland, a range of models are in place for kinder in long daycare, including age-specific and mixed-age models. Services are funded under the universal access if they meet the eligibility criteria for age, for hours, for weeks, for teachers, and for having a learning framework as per four-year-olds. Similarly, in Victoria, the breakdown of how long daycare delivers kinder within is not available, but children and parents who receive a funded four-year-old kinder place, no matter what the setting, are required under the funding policy guidelines to receive a letter confirming this, so they actually get in writing that it's part of a particular funding. Children who attend a K program in a long daycare setting 2 years before school attend, on average, nearly 15 hours a week. So the different service types, the different types of K program are actually offering different hours of service. Before moving on to the statistical analysis, it's worth noting that these patterns and hours of care are not independent. Children can attend a mix of programs. Children most frequently only attend one type of formal program 2 years prior to school. That's 738 of our cases, 68%, mostly in long daycare. However, 28% of children, 310, attended two types of formal program, including a kindergarten program within a childcare centre they attended. 4% attended three types of formal program, and two children attended four types of program. So there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of complexity. The most common form of multiple use was attending a long daycare service and a kindergarten program. 51% of the children who were in more than one type of program were in that form of pattern, that's 224 children. 30% of the children in more than one type of care were in long daycare and standalone kindergarten. Different combination. Other common forms included family daycare and long daycare, family daycare and standalone kindergarten. Some children attended both kindergarten in a long daycare setting and standalone kindergarten, getting two kindergarten programs. This is an important consideration when we think about what constitutes a dose or an exposure to formal early childhood programs in turn, exposure to different levels of early childhood quality. So we have to work through and think about these kinds of complexities. So onto the statistical analysis. Until now, you've heard the patterns of usage. At this point, I do want to turn to the question of what child and family characteristics are associated with formal ECEC use 2 years prior to school when we control for the effects of the others. So we ran three models to tease out the likelihood of children being in different patterns of ECEC two or more years before school. And the benefits of the models is that they allow us to illustrate the magnitude of the associations between child and family characteristics and ECEC usage, while holding the others constant. That's controlling for the others. So in a way, it helps us disentangle, if you like, the mix of childcare characteristics, family influences associated with the hours and the mix of programs that children receive before they come to school. First, let's look at total hours of use. A regression predicting the total number of hours children spend in formal ECEC programs 2 years before school. This graphic is a way of showing the significant associations, their direction, magnitude, and our confidence in them. Results to the right indicate are increasing the number of hours, and to the left, they're reducing the number of hours. The width of the bars gives our estimate of the range that the true population score lies within, the population that E4Kids represents. Starting from the bottom of the figure, the use of informal care is associated with a decreased number of hours spent in formal care by, on average, 4.4 hours a week. So if you use informal care, it's associated with a decrease of 4.4 hours a week in formal care. In formal ECEC. Similarly, historic use of childcare is associated with an increased number of hours per week that children spend in formal ECEC programs. Attending a childcare centre the year before that, two years prior to school, increased the average weekly attendance by 5.5 hours, and attending childcare 2 years before that year increased the average weekly attendance by 4.7 hours. So there's a pattern you can work through. When the child's main caregiver is in the labour force, the use of formal ECEC programs is associated with an increase by 8.8 hours of a week on average. Two-parent families use, on average, 4.8 fewer hours of formal childcare a week. And in contrast to a one-child household, families with three children in them use 4.8 fewer hours per week. So the mix of your family composition makes a difference to how many hours a child might get in formal ECEC programs. These findings are intuitively sound. They reinforce the narrative that formal ECEC programs support the family as much as they support the child. Labour force participation, other family characteristics are as important as the hours of formal childcare use as child characteristics and traits are. More interestingly, Maine caregivers who are not born in Australia tend to use more formal ECEC hours in the 2 years before school, 4.6 hours more. This may be related to lower level availability of relatives to provide informal care, where the parents has immigrated to Australia, or having higher levels of confidence in the formal childcare system. Factors that were not significant predictors included the children's age, gender, child behavioural difficulties, the main caregiver's age, main caregiver's highest level of education, whether they spoke English as a language other than English, whether caregivers had depression or anxiety, household income didn't predict, household CIFA didn't predict, and state. So looking on then to the next model, this model predicted the hours and use of formal childcare, long daycare, in that 2 years prior to school. The two results that cross the y-axis here, household income and child gender, they're marked with an asterisk, are marginal findings. That means they're not significant at 0.05 level, but they are under the 0.1 level. These marginal findings have been included where they're a common pattern of usage in the literature. So starting again from the bottom, the use of total hours of childcare decreased according to child gender. Girls used on average just about 2 hours fewer per week. The use of informal care decreased the number of hours spent in childcare on average by 4.7 hours a week. Children who also attended a kindergarten program used on average 4.5 fewer hours of childcare. Historic use of childcare increased the number of hours per week, as I indicated earlier. And where a child's main caregiver is in the labour force, the use of formal ECEC increased by more than six hours a week on average. Two-parent families used on average nearly four fewer hours of formal ECEC program a week. Family income was also a marginal finding. Families earning over $100,000 per year used about 1.5 hours on average during a typical week, 1.5 hours more. These findings are again intuitively sound, and there weren't significant differences for most of the same things that I mentioned earlier: child age, gender, main caregiver age, and so on. Now to the third model. This model was to predict the odds of using more than one program, and in contrast to using one program only. As a child's age increases, the odds of attending more than one program goes down. For each month of age, the odds ratio decreases by 0.9 times. Where a child uses kindergarten, the odds of using multiple programs also increase. That's short hours. It's family life. This effect is very large and represents the fact that childcare is the main form of formal program 2 years prior to school. Where kindergarten's used, it's typically along with childcare. 80% of those families report using childcare in the 2 years prior to school. In contrast, only 26% reported using kindergarten within long daycare. Of the 1,210 families I mentioned earlier in the analysis, only 161 of them reported using kindergarten as their only form of formal ECEC. When a child has used childcare in earlier years, the odds of multiple programs also increases. Labour force participation increases the odds of attending multiple forms of provision by more than three times. Main caregiver age and family income are marginal findings. And as parent age goes up, the odds of using more than one formal program increases. This may reflect older parents being more engaged in the workforce and requiring more childcare to meet their family's needs. As income moves from less than $100,000 to more, the odds of using multiple progression decreases. So the wealthier families have lower odds of using multiple programs. These things over have impacts on children's experiences over their early life course. Main caregivers who are not born in Australia have increased odds of being in more than one formal program. This fits with the earlier findings I noted. Families living in higher SES areas, as measured by CEFA, are four times less likely to be in multiple forms of programs in contrast to those living in the most disadvantaged areas. And the factors not significant in predicting this were, again, similar: gender, behavioural difficulties, main caregiver's highest education level. What was different? Family structure, being sole versus being a two-parent family. And the number of children in the household, they were not significant. Okay, findings from the analysis. So what do we make of all of that? What might this mean? The analysis confirms the importance of family circumstances in predicting the usage and patterns of ECEC care 2 years or more before school. Labour force participation, a history of childcare use, family composition, the number of children, and whether the main caregivers born overseas were all found to play a part in the usage of different mixes of ECEC and therefore children's different life experiences. Families choose from a set of ECEC options according to their circumstances, and these circumstances matter if we are to consider equity of access for young children into programs. The extent to which families use informal care to make formal ECEC fit their circumstances is an important policy question for us to consider as well. There is a question about the relative qualities of formal and informal care underpinning that. Okay, and of course, informal care may represent the preference of a family. So what we can explore now is the evaluation is the variation in quality of these programs. Do programs that include children 2 years prior to school have different levels of adult-child interaction quality? So let's have a look at that. We know from the international studies that the quality of the programs children find themselves in makes a difference to their learning and development and to their social and educational achievements over time. This is a key part of our study. Looking at process quality measured by the class, and Corinne, we might put all three of these up straight away. Among other quality analysis tools, we use the class to measure these three domains, the broad domains of quality: emotional support, classroom organisation, and instructional support in the formal settings attended by our ECE for kids. Within each domain, there are multiple dimensions that contribute to the overall measure of quality. I've given a very brief overview of these dimensions. As you can see here, positive climate, negative climate, teacher sensitivity, regard for the child. That's what we mean when we're talking about emotional support, behaviour management and so on for class organisation. Productivity is that children have things to do, and we'll come back to that one in a minute. And then instructional support, the new one on the block in terms of national policy in Australia. Okay. Please be aware, though, that there are more aspects related to quality in our programs, and we will, over time, be presenting nuanced analyses of the contributions of different aspects of quality to children's programs. The following looks at the observed levels of interaction quality through these things. Note that they're also diverse classrooms. Some will be full of children 2 years from school, like three-year-old kindergarten, and others might only have a few of our children, and they'll be in a 3 to 5 classroom in a long daycare centre. So the story of the exposure to quality programs 2 years before school is pretty complex when you really try to unpack it. Let's have a look at emotional support. Just a word about the format of these class results. Can we go on to... Okay, thank you. The vertical axis is the ranking of emotional climate on a 1 to 7 scale. okay, from the top being, seven being the top level of support. The horizontal axis groups programs into kinder, long daycare, and separately, three-year-old kindergarten. We've pulled three-year-old kindergarten out of kindergarten, even though it's a kinder program, because we wanted to have a look at it specifically. The box plots present 50% of the scores that we attained, the 25th to the 75th percentile. The dark line is the median score. The straight vertical lines emerging from those boxes, the whiskers, are the bottom 25th and top 25th percentile. And they're really the dispersion of scores. These data are readings of emotional support in the programs that the subset of children experienced when they were 2 years before school. All types recorded quite high levels of emotional support to the children, as you can see. Note that the difference between long daycare and three-year-old kindergarten is significant. Three-year-old kindergartens on programs on average are on average 0.9 scale scores higher than long daycare programs in emotional support. The difference between LDC and standalone kindergarten is not significant at the 0.5 level. So let's have a look at class organisation. Again, class organisation, that is, that behaviour is managed, that time and routines are managed, that children have an opportunity to be involved in learning, that formats allow for interest and engagement. This was scored in the high mid-range for the programs. The difference between long daycare and three-year-old kindergarten, again, was significant. Three-year-old kindergarten, on average, 0.7 of a scale score higher than long daycare programs. The difference between LDC and standalone kindergartens wasn't significant. I'll come back to those differences, however. But let's have a look at instructional support. Here, we report the evidence on conceptual development that prompts thinking and understanding, the quality of feedback that expands learning and participation, and language modelling, the use of language to stimulate and facilitate learning and understanding. We excluded literacy focus as an item in this analysis for three-year-olds. The median of three-year-old kindergarten programs is in the low mid-range, above the rating of the other programs. While instructional support conceptualised in this way is new, since Australia has only recently embarked on a learning framework under the quality system, it's useful to have these before NQS implementation ratings. There's an opportunity to think about these constructs and right now and determine how some optimal ways to support young children's learning going forward under the new system. Note that the difference between long daycare and three-year-old kindergarten is also significant. Three-year-old kinders are on average 0.8 scale scores higher than long daycare. The average between LDC and standalone K was not significant at the 0.5. So it's interesting to note there are differences in observed process quality according to the type of program children are in. These are significant findings, and the direction of the effect is consistent. Three-year-old K is generally higher than LDC programs. However, the magnitude's really small. And how big a difference do we need to see before children's outcomes are different? That's the question, and that's the critical big question for kids to address in our coming analyses. What does a scale score difference or a point of a scale score difference make to children's learning outcomes? We have those data, we have yet to analyse them. Given the earlier analyses about patterns of use, we know this story is fairly complex. Many children are getting a mix of the above class types, as I've mentioned, and their exposure varies. How these patterns interact is an important story we want to tell. And looking at case examples, typical case examples, is also important. So, just going on, it's not possible although it's not really possible with these data to directly align the class process quality evidence with the two key national quality standard process standards, there is a conceptual closeness in what's being addressed about program quality. So here, this is our national quality standard, and under this standard, quality area one is the first area, and the first standard is based on an approved learning framework, curriculum and routines being in place. And the second standard in quality area one is based on education program, educators being focused, active and reflective in their strategies and practices that they use every day. So the class tool is measuring for these kinds of things, but we can't make a direct comparison. Under quality area five in the national quality standard, that looks at relationships educators have with children and that they're respectful and they're equitable. The second standard under quality area five is expects children to be supported by educators to build sensitive, responsive relationships with other children and adults. So the emotional climate, the organisation, that's all very much part of that picture. The behavioural markers that characterises the class and the elements that make up these quality standards have much in common. This is a subject of further papers. Corinne Ashimini and I are preparing, actually, as since we were involved in the NQS assessment tool development, and we've been leading the EFA Kids quality measurement process. So there's some very interesting combinations that we can work on. Almost there. So some summary comments to wrap up. I want to stress that the timing of EFA Kids research is really exciting. We're now on the cusp of major analytic work, and this coincides with the implementation of the new national quality standard. Both activities are about identifying the quality of early childhood education and care that very young Australians receive in the years before school. The National Quality Standard assessment process covers the suite of program types: kindergarten long day, family daycare, outside school hours care. The E for Kids sample tracks children who've been moving through a mix of these services and being at home. So it's an interesting combination. What we have is evidence of children's learning and development over time, as well as the evidence of quality programs children have been experiencing. For the first time, we will have evidence of whether what we've assessed as quality translates into improved child learning and development outcomes, because that's something we can directly measure in this study, because we've done individual assessments of the children's cognition and achievement. So we're at the very beginning, effectively. And let's just finish by going to the research network. Here's the list of the investigation team. They're quite a talent group. And we're certainly excited about the work ahead in 2013 and 14 to reap the benefits of this collection of three major waves of data, and then linking up to the NAPLAN results of these children as they track forward into year three. But I want to pay tribute here to the Year for Kids operational and technical teams, both here and in Queensland, and we've got quite a few of them here in the audience. Where are you? Somewhere. There's a few of the crew. I can see they're not waving. Without their detailed attention to collecting, to processing, to cleaning the data, we would have no evidence to analyse. It's a really major piece of work to have collected these data over so many families and so many settings in so many different parts of the two states. And importantly, I want to pay special tribute to you, Dan, who Dan Cloney came off stream to work the analysis for this presentation. We're in a pretty frantic period finishing off the 2012 data processing work, and Dan's also working within this E for Kids study on his PhD. I know there's a lot more analytic work to come, And I hope, even though it's a long and detailed story, I hope it just sets some kind of a scene for the level of complexity that's available inside of these things, but the capacity we will have to go through once we run our analyses of individual child outcomes to look at what different patterns mean for different kinds of outcomes, what different levels of quality mean for different kinds of outcomes. So, you know, I kind of commend you to tune in to the Ear for Kids website where we will load up our findings as we proceed. And I thank you very much for coming tonight.